But he's already told us he wants to move among the ones that are hungry and thirsty, the ones that desire God's presence. The reason why God moves here, church, and many churches all over the city, the reason why is we've honored a culture of letting God be God and letting us be us and worshiping and honoring him and recognizing who truly is in charge. See, I may be the pastor and I may be the shepherd here, and yes, I'm in charge in a lot of aspects, but he's in charge of this whole service. He's in charge of our lives, amen? He knows what we do. He sees every tear that falls. He knows every dream in our head. He knows, church, amen? Santa ain't got nothing on Jesus. Glory to God. Right? See, Santa has to check twice on his list, but once it's written in the blood of Jesus, it's done. Amen. Sorry, Santa. It's what it is. Sorry, not sorry. Amen. God loves you so much. I'm so thankful you're here today. Yeah, if it's your first time, thank you. You're welcome to come. If you don't have a church home, feel free to come here. We'd love to have you. Normally, we have services on Sunday morning at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have prayer all week long at certain times. And then also, we have Sunday night services, unless there's a holiday. And we have Wednesday night service as well, which is more of a Bible study atmosphere. But we love the Lord here at First Open Bible, and we want to follow what he is doing. Amen? Amen. I may run around and jump and yell, but God has made me the weeping pastor. You may see that. When I get in the presence of God, I don't know what else to do. There's no other human emotion that shows more respect and honor and love than just to fall before him and say, God, I'm so thankful. This week, while I was preparing this message, and I don't even know what I'm going to preach on it, to be honest with you. I've never really come on a Sunday morning and said, man, I don't even know if I'm going to preach at all this stuff. You know, like, I don't know. But this whole week, I just was so thankful. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful I got breath in my lungs. I'm thankful I have a great family, a wife that loves me, and children that look up to me. I'm thankful for health. I'm thankful for an awesome church. I'm thankful that I just live in America. I'm thankful that I have freedom of speech, freedom of religion. I'm thankful that I can come and preach God's word to hungry people that want to see something happen. I'm thankful there's lost people that are going to come in my way, that I get to be able to share the gospel. I'm thankful just to be alive today. I'm thankful that Jesus is not dead. He's alive and he's moving in this world and he's moving in me. I'm a thankful man. Amen. God's looking for a grateful church that's thankful for what he's done. Do you realize? I know we've probably heard it over and over again and we read the story, but just, I don't know how to do it, but just ask God to strip away everything for a moment. Pretend this is the first time you've ever heard of such a great message. Strip away everything for a moment. All the things that man-made has done in churches, or all those felt board things that you've seen as a child, or maybe it's your first time hearing this, or whatever it is that you've made in your mind, or all your insecurities, push them aside for a moment and think that God wanted us so bad that he would send his one son to not only come as a baby in a manger, but to trust us to protect him and love him, and that he would show us the way. And he did it. He put his presence in flesh so we could be made right with him again. That's incredible to think about. To know that how much we have hurt him and disrespected him through all the years, how we literally spit in his face before he went to the cross, how he took whips and beatings for us, but that he loves us enough that he would send his son to die for us. See, that's why we celebrate. There is no Easter without Christmas, church. We love Easter and he is risen, yes, but he came to be with us so he can be risen. This is the greatest time all year long that God would love us enough that God would be with us. That God would love us enough that he'd want to make us right. Generation after generation, all the Old Testament prophets, all the Israelites, all God's people from all the way up until John the Baptist, all of them would be jealous of us today. That we know that Jesus Christ not only died, but rose again. And then when he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. It's not locked in a box in a tent far deep where only one person a year can go in and get in his presence. It's every morning of every day, of every hour that we can get in God's presence, that we can enter the Holy of Holies. We just spend time with him because Jesus came 2,000 years ago. God is not only going to be with us for all of eternity, God is with us right now. Right now. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Well, Merry Christmas and blessed Advent to you. So we've been anticipating this Christmas Eve service for 4 weeks now. We've been anticipating the arrival of Jesus. If you haven't joined us in the last 4 weeks, God has given us amazing messages the last 4 weeks of Advent. You feel free to go to our website. You can listen to it. Go to a podcast. We have them all on there. The audio is there for you to listen. We're just happy that you're here with us today. Amen. Are you happy? Are you full of God's joy this morning? God's joy is way better than happiness. Amen. Happiness is determined by the circumstances. Maybe you walked in, it was hard. Man, I was stressed this morning, you know, getting kids, getting shower. My wife's here practicing. I had Pastor Cody and Tay-Tay helping me out with the kids. And you know, I just walk in and everybody's like, how you doing, Pastor? I'm like, I'm all over the place. I got to get to my little sanctuary, my little office and just get in God's presence. I need him right now. He's got to settle my soul so I can get into the Spirit. Amen? And sometimes you just walk in. I'm so thankful for God. And I'm so thankful to be here this morning. See, Christmas is almost here. If you haven't bought presents, you fall to your knees now and ask for forgiveness. Have you not learned yet? My goodness. Yeah, that's just do a bunch of IOUs or some coupons, make a bunch of coupons out, free back rub, you know, make your bed. That's about all you're getting unless you want to go out with them crazy people tomorrow. Oh, you've been journeying with us the last 4 weeks. You know we've been celebrating and observing Advent. And this is Christmas Eve, and we're on the verge of celebration of the arrival of Jesus, our Savior, the light of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. Advent is a season of expecting and awaiting God's arrival. We focus and reflect on Christ's coming. His coming to earth, that first Christmas long ago, and his eventual triumphant return. Amen? He's coming back. The greatest re-gift gift ever. Ever. And each week of Advent, we focus on different aspects of God's character brought into the world through Jesus. Hope, love, joy, and peace. So this theme of Advent, you see it right behind me. It says, God with us. Amen. All the Pentecostals love this, right? Because the Spirit of God is alive. It did not die out with the apostolic age. There are still miracles happening today. It did not die out with the ones that first were around Jesus or the rub-off like Paul. I don't even know why they believe it. But Paul didn't even walk with Jesus, but somehow he still had it. See, it's because it's still for today. That's why. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Lay hands on the ones that want to receive the Spirit of God, and they'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God is still doing miracles. The 9 gifts of the Spirit are still for today, just like the 9 fruits of the Spirit are still for you today. Amen? If you came in here today, you said, why is that lady talking in Chinese? That was not Chinese. Well, maybe it was. I don't know. I don't know Chinese, but that is called a tongue interpretation because God is still moving that way. Tongue interpretation. And I'm believing there's going to be a day, First Open Bible, that we're not only going to do tongue interpretation or prophecy. There's going to be other things that are going to be happening in here. But right now, amen, somebody gives a tongue. It's a heavenly language spoken from God to that person out loud. And then there's an interpretation of what God said. It's not a translation. It's not word for word. It's an interpretation. Okay? I know that they're not here this morning, but Walter, he speaks in Spanish, right? He's from Argentina, lived in Spain. Well, when I say a sentence and he says a sentence, his are usually longer, right? Right? It's just like heavenly language and then earthly language. It can be shorter, it can be longer because it's not a translation. It's a interpretation. Amen? There's your lesson for today. Glory to God. So long ago, the Old Testament prophet, his name is Isaiah, right? I love reading at this time of year what Isaiah, some of the things that he foretold about the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew, in the Gospels. He has his own spin on this. He sheds a little light, and he says this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. He says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. He's referring to Isaiah. And he says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this Christmas story is a powerful story, filled with wonder and miracles and a very real life. See, a lot of times, church, we look at the stories in the Bible and we think, oh man, that's so cool, right? That was awesome way back when. And those people, I'm never going to be like that. No, I don't think you look deep enough. You're exactly like that, right? Is there anybody that's ever been rejected before? Raise your hand. Has there ever been anybody in here that felt like an outcast? Raise your hand. Has there anybody in here that's made some big mistakes in your life? Anybody been afraid and been a coward before? Anybody not good at speech sometimes? Okay, there you go. That's 3/4 of the Bible, all those people, and you're just like them. You're just like them. Come on, I'm preaching. Preaching. Amen. See, these stories that we read about, they're powerful, but they're also real. This is real history. Even the people that don't believe in the Bible, they're not Christians. They still recognize this as a part of history, that this still happened in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, that this still would have happened. They look at it as a history book. I look at it as a history book. I look at it as God's word, and I also look at it as the future because it's not done. It's not done. It's alive and active. See, dead things aren't alive. See, this thing's alive, which means it's still got more to do. Man, are you alive today? You still got more to do. If you're alive, alive today, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. So as we've been walking through the various parts of the Christmas story these past 4 weeks, we've realized that God with us happened to the lives of real people. People just like you and people just like me, right? They might have been Tanner, right? They might have had some robes, and they might have had some really dirty feet, but they're just like us. And we've seen that he brought hope, love, joy, and peace into their lives in a real way, just like he can do the same for us today. So what does it mean, God with us? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. See, God with us, he brings a lot of stuff. 4 different things we've talked about. The first one is God brings hope. Amen? Hope. 4 weeks ago, we talked about hope. It starts with hope. I'm so thankful for the hope that I find in the Lord. Amen? It's not hope in the world. It's hope in God. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, God has been caring for his people. And he's been making a way to restore us to him. The prophet Isaiah, he fanned the flame of hope in his message. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end, and it will rule with fairness and justice and from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. This passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. When God's armies putting something to work, it's going to happen. Hope at the time of Israel. See, this was hundreds of years before Jesus, the Messiah, even came. See, the hope at that time in Israel was alive again. Hope on earth in its deepest levels was alive again, and hope is still alive today. You realize that you and I are just like the Israelites, right? Right? We like to say, man, them Israelites, they're dumb. Can you believe it? They could have got there in months, but it took them 40 years? That's crazy. Walk a straight line, man. Just go right there. You even went through a sea. Come on. Oh, really? So your leader's gone for a while, and you build a golden calf, and you have these idols in your life? What were you thinking? We do it all the time. How many idols we got in our life? See, that's why I'm thankful for God's Spirit. See, the prophet, or the man or the woman that speaks. God's word doesn't always have to be around you because God's presence already is. Right? We're just like the Israelites. Here's the good thing about the Israelites. We're just like them. We're just one message from God. We're just one word away from God to spark the hope inside of us again. Amen? See, they were out and they're lost and they're like, when is this Messiah coming? I'm tired of being ruled and then finding freedom and then being ruled again and finding freedom and walking around 40 years eating this nasty bread, and then you send us so much quail, we don't know what to do with it. I'm tired of, you know, chicken, man. That's the first fried chicken right there. And so it just like, come on, I'm tired of all this. We need something. And then Isaiah comes. Don't you worry. The Prince of Peace is coming. His rule will never end. God's armies will bring this to happen. And they're like, hallelujah, right? And they're so excited because God brought hope to them again. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God gave us a message and gave it to him who gave it to us. Amen. Praise God. That's just what we need to hear. We're just like that, church. See, hope is based on and it's also found in God's word. His promises are beacons. Say beacon. Beacons of hope, right? Thank you, Lord, for all this hope that's in here. That when I'm hurting, that you do see me. That when all these people have called me these terrible things, and even the devil's whispering in my ears, and everything in my eyes I see feels like it's all falling apart, God, and even all my friends, so-called friends, have called me all these terrible things. You call me beloved. You said I'm the head and not the tail. You say I'm not beneath, but I'm above. That you call me a royal priesthood. That you love me. That I was lost and now I'm found. And that you said that I'm worth it. Amen? Beacons of hope. Beacons of hope. See, the scriptures themselves are a piece of God. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Christmas. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. May I have this, is this on? This mic?
Ooh, hallelujah. Double time, baby.
All right. I want to ask somebody in here. Give me a scripture that brings hope to God's people. Right now, raise your hand if you have something. Memorized. It's memorized. All right. 1 John 1:9. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got to do it in here.
1 John 1:9.
What is it? Dude, you got to say it. Okay, I need somebody who says it, right? There's so much in God's word that has it right now that can speak it out. Jane, you got to bring this. Bring the heat right now, okay? Come on.
Philippians 4:13. Through him, everything I can do with his strength.
Amen. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Anybody, come on. Give me some hope. I need some hope this morning. What you got?
Psalms 55:22. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, for you shall never suffer the righteous to be removed.
Amen. Amen. I need one more. I need a man. I got two ladies. Ooh. Brother Bob, come on now. Woo. Shaking down. Come on, bring it.
Galatians 3rd chapter in the 9th verse says that those that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Amen. Amen. Come on. You can receive that, church. Say amen. Amen. All right, I'm going back to the baby mic. All right. Amen. See what just happened? You can do that all the time, right? You don't just got to keep that here in church. See, those are beacons of hope. When you're down and out, see, it says in God's word that you must hide his word where? In your heart. Why? Because when your mind is lying to you, even when your heart's lying to you, even when the flesh is lying to you, even when the devil's coming and he's fighting against you, it's hidden in your heart. You don't have to bust open. I got to rush home and read my Bible. And I haven't read it in a while, so I might just open up and look for some red in there and maybe just speak. No, it's hidden in your heart. You just say it. And you say, devil, shut your mouth. I got something to say right now. I got hope in the Lord. He is my strength. And guess what? When I'm down and out, he fights my battles. You don't know. He goes before me in every battle. Woo, I'm preaching today. Amen. Preaching myself happy. Preaching myself with some joy. Amen. If I'm too loud, you might want to sit out there and just open the door. Amen. They actually literally had to cap me in the... and the mics on the recording, Josh told me that. He said, you get kind of loud and get fuzzy, so we just capped you at one point. I'm like, as long as you don't cap the Holy Ghost, okay. Don't you cap that Holy Ghost. You can cap me. All right. The prophet Isaiah, he fanned the flames of the message to us. Hope is alive. It's found in God's word. And there's another way that God's hope is found. It's also found in God's faithfulness. Faithfulness. Our future hope can be found when we remember what God has done for us. See, it might look bleak, it might look bad, it might look not so good right now, but when's the last time you reminded yourself and reminded God and reminded the devil that what he's done for you before? See, when you do that, then you shed hope in this current situation. You said, you know what, I don't feel it right now, and I actually don't see God around, but I know that you're alive, I know that you got me through this. You've already healed me of cancer, you already set me free of this, you've already done that, I've already seen blind eyes see, I've already seen these sickness, I was down, I used to be depressed for 20 years, you set me free of that 3 years ago, it ain't coming back, right? See, hopeful people are grateful people. Grateful people. I'm grateful to be alive. Even if I don't see all the things in front of me, I'm grateful for what he's already done because I know he's going to do it again. God with us brings us hope that sparks a fire. Hope flows like water. Hope grows like a seed. Hope grows and spreads like a living thing. So think right now, church, right? Give me your eyes real quick. I want you to think. Right here. Yeah, somebody's walking in. All right, cool. Right here, eyeballs. I want you to think about this. Think right now in all the crazy, crazy ways that God has shown up in your life. Just think about it. That was crazy. God, what? That was awesome. Think of all the unexpected ways that God intervened in your situation. Think of all the ways that God stepped in. Right? It's like there's a little space right here, and the devil's trying to come in. He goes, right? Y'all say budge. We say cut on the West Coast. I'm cutting in line. I'm budging in line. Get behind me, Satan. See? Right there? Woo! Come on now. Think of all those ways that God intervened. He cut in line, showed up, and right there you're protected. Right there you're set free. Right there something happened. Right there all of a sudden I felt peace in the midst of the biggest storm. It was like instantaneous. I'm in the eye of the storm, and it's calm. What happened? It's crazy. Crazy. See, Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verses 21 and through 26 says this. Come on, church. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord in my inheritance, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good and those who depend on him, to those who search for him. See, if you want to depend on him, you better search for him. Verse 26, so it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Amen. But God with us also brings us love. It's faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. 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 Not like the world loves, church. It's not a tolerant love. It's an accepting love. It's a forgiving love. But it's a love with justice and righteousness. A love with grace and mercy. Church, you need to hear this maybe. The world doesn't need to be whoever they want to be. The world doesn't, you're not allowed to be whoever you want to be. Oh, I'm going to be this, I want to be that. No, you're called to be who God has called you to be. It's not who you want to be. Love and tolerance. Oh, you can just do whatever you want. Just be whoever you want. No. You've been called. Jesus died on the cross for a purpose, for your plan, so you can be who he wants you to be. Right? Seems like there's something like the Marines like that. Be all you can be. Is that the Marines, right? No? What is that? Army? All right. I just like the Marines because my dad is a Marine, so whatever. All the good sayings go to them. Let's just do that. Be all you can be, church, by being who God has chose you to be. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. A few weeks ago, we talked about a story that most of us never think about. A love story. between Mary and Joseph. In many ways, their love story was a typical one of their day. In many ways, it's a typical love story like it is today. See, they started as a young couple with humble beginnings, and they entered into a multi-step process of marriage. Well, that's until God stepped in, amen? God showed up, and their humble beginnings got rocked. A miraculous pregnancy, the Son of God is on his way. Their once quiet lives will never be the same again. And there's a big question in this whole love story. Will their relationship ever survive the perceived betrayal? Mary, how could you do this? How could you cheat on me? How could you break what I thought we had? I loved you with all that I am, and this is what you did to me. Out of all the people in the world, I chose you, and you did this to me, right? See, it's just like many people in here today. You have love stories in your life that went down a wrong path. You have love stories that seem to have betrayal in the middle of it. Maybe you're still in a love story that has betrayal in it. Church, I'm telling you, step in the Bible. Step into the Bible. You're in here. You're in here. God speaks to us through these people because we're just like these people. These are real stories for real people like us. Maybe your love story has had lots of misunderstanding and confusion in it, just like for Joseph and Mary. See, the story of Mary and Joseph was a love story and a life story written by God himself. God knew just how to deliver the tangible love that Mary and Joseph needed in the exact way that they needed. Do you know that God can reach you in a totally different way than he'll reach me, who will reach them, right? All the people on the left, y'all gonna get reached different than the people on the right. Y'all know you can sit in different seats, right? I already know where everybody's gonna sit. You know, different views, right? God can touch you in a different way than he could touch somebody else. Isn't that awesome? How God could do that. He delivers love in different ways. See, for Mary, she needed love and support from someone who could fully understand her situation. Elizabeth, her cousin, was just the person to bring love because she was experiencing her own miracle at the same time, her own miracle of pregnancy. Tangible love for Mary came from words from God spoken from another child of God. You know you can be what exactly someone needs to have in their life, that God's love can work through you. Do you know that? You can bring God's word and love and encouragement and strength to another person, and that's exactly how God wanted it to happen. But for Joseph, it was a lot different. He needed a supernatural love. See, he had a bunch of pain and hurt, and he was confused, and he was angry. He had decided to divorce Mary, but the God with us lovingly met his needs by sending an angel, a message from God through an angel to him to assure that Joseph, these miraculous events that happened indeed were from God himself. It says in Matthew 1, 20 and 21, it says, as he considered this, he's considering the divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, come on, and you will name him Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Ooh. See, every life, church, your life, is a love story. It's a love story. Because everybody in here desires love. But to have a great love story, you must have the supernatural. You can't have a great love story without the supernatural. You can have a good one, cannot have a great one. There must be the presence of God. Why? Because God is love. God gives his love to us freely. And when we open ourselves up to it, God's love flows through us into others. 1 John 4:16 says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. All you haters out there, lay it to rest. You're called to be a lover, not a fighter. Amen? Be a lover. Love God. Love people. Love what God is doing. Love. Okay, you can't hate. You can't fight. Hate sin. Hate the devil. Hate what the world's trying to do to people. But love God. See, you love God enough that you hate sin. That's just what happens. See, love is God with us. Love has come into the world in the person of Emmanuel. Jesus himself embodies love. He is love. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. So we need to live and spread God's love to God's people. Amen? There's only one way the world's ever going to know who we are. Not that we sit in here on a Sunday and we don't sleep in. That's not how they're going to know us. They're not going to know us on the street corner and go, turn or burn, turn or burn. Repent, repent, for the kingdom is near. Man, we already had a guy that did that. Okay? The last prophet already did that. The kingdom is near. But how is the world going to know us? By the way we love one another. Church, if you can't love another church person, you got no business loving anybody outside of the church. You really have no business loving God. If you can't forgive others, then you don't deserve forgiveness. That ain't me. That's the Bible. You got to love one another. Lay it down, man. There's an altar here. Lay it down. Pick something else up. Woo! Here you go. God's love brings us joy. Come on, do a little joy dance. Hey. Woo! See, God's love brings us joy. Come on now. Everybody loves joy. Turn that frown upside down. Come on. He's the king and he's alive. The most recognized emotion during Christmas is Christmas joy. So Elizabeth, what happened in her life personifies it. Christmas joy. It is Christmas joy. Mary's cousin, the mother of John the Baptist, joy for her was wrapped in a miraculous gift of her own son, John the Baptist. Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, they've never been able to have kids. They were really, really old. They were beyond childbearing years. They couldn't even have one kid. See, in those times, that's probably the worst thing that can happen to a woman. Worst thing, to be barren. So, what happened? We don't know exactly what Elizabeth's life was like, but we can speculate. Think about this. Perhaps there was months of emotional turmoil. Every single time she thought maybe she was pregnant, found out she wasn't. Maybe there's years of devastating heartache. How about all the countless names that her fellow so-called friends have probably called her in front of her, behind her back, in the marketplace? You ever walk through a crowd before and everybody stops talking? And you walk through and you know they're saying something about you? You might laugh, but you didn't laugh at the time. You're hurt, broken. Who do you think you are? Why are you saying these things about me? How about a lifetime of feeling broken? Perhaps she also had a long stint of depression on top of it all. They couldn't run down to the local doctor and just throw a bunch of medicine at you. Here's your happy pills. Maybe that's what she went through. Sounds a lot like some of us, doesn't it? Sounds like some people in here today. Well, that's until God with us intervenes. Till God's joy destroys the pain and the shame she'd endured. The angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and told him, there's a miracle on his way. Come on. If you need a miracle, you need a miracle from God. Will you just raise your hands right now and just say, God, I need a miracle. I need a word from you, God, right now. Just say it. Tell him, God, I need a miracle. I need a word from you right now, God. May you speak to me. See, in the midst of all that, in all those years of heartache, Zechariah is told there's a miracle on its way. His once barren wife, come on, you had dreams in your life that were barren. You thought they were dead. You thought they were gone. You thought there's nothing coming out of your life until God with us shows up. He says, I'm going to give you a son. See, at that very moment, God's hopeful words were birthing joy. In the midst of Elizabeth's shame, hope kicked in her again. Come on now. And their child was not just to be any child. See, a lot of times we want God to do something for us right now, but God says, hold on or hold up or wait, because God's going to birth something way better in our life. It's going to give us way more joy and way more glory and honor to Him than what if we would have got exactly what we wanted at our time that we wanted it. See, their child was not to just be any child. Imagine that. All their life praying for a kid. They don't get a kid forever and ever. They're just waiting and they're serving God and they're doing all the right things. And God, I'm faithful. God, I'm obedient. God, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to love on other people. I might even pick up other babies. I might even love other children. Even though inside of me something's broken. Something's dead. Something's hurting. Because sometimes great joy comes after great pain. And sometimes great joy comes in the midst of great pain. See, God's birthing something new in Elizabeth. God's going to birth something new inside of you. See, that once barren dream is going to birth something way better than you ever would have imagined. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Elizabeth's joy was contagious and overflowing with gratitude and praise. This is what she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 25. Elizabeth says this, "How kind the Lord is!" she exclaimed. She's probably doing a happy dance too. "He has taken away my disgrace." Get that lady a flag or something. Woo! Of having no children. Praise God. See, joy is like that. It can't be contained. Remember a couple weeks ago? It's like a puppy in a box. It ain't going to be contained. It's got to bust out and it's got to lick and love everybody. Right? That's exactly what joy is. It's got to bust out and it's got to go and love everybody around. Amen? Get everybody sloppy. Come on now. See, joy, church, oh, the world needs God's people to have joy to bust out of them. And everyone around can see it. See, God's joy, it can be shared. It's almost impossible not to share it. Amen? Right? I love a very godly example here. You know the movie Elf? Best Christmas movie around. I'm in love, and everyone must know it. Right? See, that's how you should be with Jesus. I'm in love, and everybody must know it. My Savior is alive, and He loves me. And He sent, on this Christmas morning, He sent somebody for me 2,000 years ago. I'm in love. Right? World's best coffee. Congratulations. Oh. See, that's what joy is like, church. The world needs joy because joy defies our circumstances. You don't have to be like the world and wait for happiness. When things are going good, then all of a sudden you feel great. See, joy defies those things. Joy draws from Jesus, not from circumstances. Joy draws from God with us. It sees the bigger picture beyond the immediate pain, beyond the immediate struggle. See, James famously said it like this, James 1, 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Why do you need nothing? Because you got God's presence, that's why. You have Jesus, that's why you don't need nothing. Joy understands that there is more than meets the eye. Joy knows that God is at work. Joy knows that eventually God will make everything right, healed, and whole. Christmas is the season characterized by joy because Jesus has come. I got my last one here. So we got three of four so far. God with us now brings us, do you know what the last one is? Peace. God with us brings peace. I want us to look at something this morning. I want us to look at the shepherds for a moment. Let's look at the shepherds for a moment. Let's look at different angles for the shepherd. See, we like to think of peace when we refer to the night in Bethlehem on that first Christmas day. See, we sing songs about it, but I don't believe it was very peaceful for the shepherds that day. See, we tend to picture a calm, still night. The shepherds nestling around, their sheep maybe cuddling. Hold me, right? Oh, it's cold out. I just snuggle up to little sheepy over here. Resting around the campfire. Whew. Hand me another s'more over there, buddy. And the sheep nestled in for the night beneath the clear sky. Okay, everyone, it's time to go to sleep now. Okay, sheep, you realize sheep are dumb, right? The Bible tells us sheep are dumb. Whoops. She said it, not me. Hey, I'm a sheep too, so if you didn't catch that, she said sheep are us, so that was Tasha. If you're mad at her, come see her next Sunday. We'd love to have you. Okay. See, we picture this happening, but what if those sheep might have not been restful and they were restless? Maybe they're trying to wander off because that's what they did all the time. That's part of why they had what they had. Get back over here, right? You're going to get hurt, right? They had that staff that would just bring them in. It also was to protect and fight. What if there were coyotes howling and menacing nearby, or leopards prowling? There's leopards around that area, by the way, prowling and ready to eat. What if storms might have threatened overhead? And these men who had wandered the hills might have been grumbling about eating. I've been eating the same stinking thing for 6 weeks, right? It's been 6 days or whatever of this nasty bread. I'm tired of this. See, what we do know for sure is that those shepherds were not feeling peace at all when the angel first showed up. What were they, church? Terrified. Luke 2:10 says, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. And the guys are like, why are you on fire? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. All right, think about this aspect of shepherds. Okay, we're coming to a close. Think about this aspect of the shepherds too. See, these guys, come on now. This is going to preach. These guys weren't particularly religious men of their day. They undoubtedly believed in God, and they did their best to follow the laws. But the social and the spiritual order of the day, these guys were near the bottom, and they knew it. They were nowhere near the holiness of the Pharisees. They might have felt a lot of guilt about not measuring up to the perceived God standards. Or possibly they quit trying altogether. Sound like anybody you know? Not no more. See, receive this message, man. But God is God, and He always does things best. See, the God of peace, the God of shalom, stepped in and He intervened. He was with them. See, this is what the angel said. Now catch this. In Luke 2:14, so four more verses after saying, don't be afraid. So glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth, right? Remember who he's talking to, the shepherds. Peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Where are you at who said that? Peace on earth who God is pleased. Peace on earth, God is pleased. Say what? Don't you know I'm at the bottom? Don't you know I smell? Don't you know that I'm an outcast? Don't you know that I'm all alone? Don't you know the sheep don't sleep at night? Don't you know that I've been eating the same old stuff? Don't you know that this is horrible, this life that I've chosen? Maybe I'm uneducated and this is all I can get. See, God had purposely, say purposely, church. God purposely chose to let those lowly sheep herders in on the first news of this incredible celebration, because God's Son had come for them too. See, God with us is here, and And he was there for the shepherds and the outcasts and the downtrodden. He's down with the ones that don't measure up. He's down with the ones that everybody talks about. He's down with the ones that feel like they're down and out. He's down with the ones that are depressed and hurt, sick. He's down with all of them. And church, God says this to you today. And guess what? To all of them, he is pleased. And he brings the message of peace. And I wrote, amen, right there. Amen. Whew. Once lost, now found. Mm. See, this was the perfect picture of shalom. A fullness of safety, completion, and wholeness. The sheep all over the place, the campfire going out, no more s'mores to eat, right? And it's just like all this stuff going on and feeling down and out and feeling like you're less than and feeling like you're an outcast and all these things. But God steps in. This is the picture of restoration with God. He says, I'm pleased. But wait, don't you know? No. You don't know. It's the peace that settles our souls deeply. The Prince of Peace, Jesus, the giver of shalom, Jesus, gives his spirit of peace to us today. You're like, okay, just ask him. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. All right, God, easy said than done. What do I got to do? Instead, do this. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience. See, it's then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace that guards your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Whew. So Christmas is in 2 days. Christmas. Christmas isn't for opening presents. It's for experiencing his presence. It's God with us. As we close out this Advent time together, may I read you my favorite section of Scripture for this time? See, this is a season that God's gifts are brought to us by God with us. This is a beautiful description of the life brought to us by Christ. It's in Romans chapter 5, the first 5 verses. Let me read it to you. Can you not put it up there real quick? Thanks, Craig. I want to read it to them. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What I love about this is by my faith, I got God's peace. By my faith, I got God's joy and hope. By my faith, I accept his love. And in that, it says, I can also rejoice. Rejoice is the action of joy. It's the verb. And when we run into problems, I can have action in my joy by rejoicing with the trials. Why? Because I can't have good things until I have bad things. And when I face those bad things with my God, with my Savior, with Emmanuel, with God with me, then it will strengthen me. It'll give me character. It'll help me give me endurance. And my character will strengthen the confident hope I have in salvation. See, if you get deep into that, here's the reason why. Because the more that you love God and the more things that you realize that I have hope in, the more you realize I got nothing and he has everything. That I got no strength and he's got all the strength. The more I realize it's not about me, it's about him. The more I realize 2,000 years ago that when Jesus was born in that manger, he thought about me at this moment. The more I get out of my mind and into my spirit. See, this Advent season, I want us to receive four gifts: hope, love, joy, and peace. Let's receive the gift of God with us. Amen. And just like every sermon says, HS, Holy Spirit. Worship team, can you come up, please? Time is it? Oh, time to preach. I love God. Amen. Y'all get to eat. We live in America. We all eating too much already. We're all good. Right? Y'all got refrigerators full of food. You're more blessed than 80% of the world. You're good. Leftovers are okay. All right? Restaurants ain't going to close because you didn't show up. God wants to move. Amen? So this Christmas season, I recognize there's a lot of people I don't see on a normal basis. So I know that God's got a message special for you. Right? You thought that you walked in here going, oh, I'm just going to fulfill the promise that I had to my mama or my grandma or my friend or whatever that drug me in here. No, no, no. You don't recognize and you don't realize that God with us spoke to you today. That this message, clear out all the people that come every week. They can all go home. This is for you. Right? That God wants to speak directly to you. God has a message for you. He's that good. He's that good. He loves you. What do you say? He's 11. Woo! Amen. Amen. That's good. What's your name, man? Patrick. Patrick Robinson. Today's your day, bro. God loves you. He's got a message for you today. I love that you get involved with the sermon because that's exactly what I do. That's how I, the more you get me going, the more the Holy Ghost flows. But God, not only that, but the more, see, you got to say something when your spirit or your soul inside recognizes God has a word for you today, man. God loves you. He's setting you free. I don't know where you came from, but guess what? His hope, his love, his joy, and his peace are going to fall upon you right now. Miss Mary, put your hand on him, please. All right, church, let's pray for him. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we come to you right now. We lift up this man. We thank you for his 11-year-old son that brought him here today. May the Spirit of the living God pour out right now. Fill him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all the way out to his fingertips. May he feel the presence of the living God. Take away all shame right now in the name of Jesus. The lies of the enemy are broken by the words and the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name, by the blood that pours out and the things that Jesus did 2,000 years ago for you, they are setting you free right now. Those chains are falling off in Jesus' name. I don't know where you come from or the background. I just see there's a family background of something that you believe in, a generational curse that you're going to end up just like all these other people. God's breaking that right now. You're made brand new right now. God's saying that that's not you. You're set free right now. It says you're made a new creation, that you're born again. You're not born into the same family anymore. You're born into the family of God. And if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you're in a different army now. You're fighting in a different fight, and you're fighting victorious right now because he goes before you and he's fighting for you. And right now, may you receive this word. God loves you. He sees you. He knows those nights that you're trying to be tough, but you know that you're falling apart when nobody's around and you're in your room and you're broken and you're hurting and you wonder, is there a God? There's a God. He's seen it all. He sees every tear that falls. He's holding your hand. He's right there. But right now is the time, even this day. It says in Ephesians 6, when you don't know what else to do, when you stand, God's saying stand. He's saying today's the day that you're going to stand right now. You're going to stand in place and you're going to say, devil, I'm fighting, but I'm recognizing it's not my fight anymore. I've been trying to be a man and fight my own fights. But right now, God, step in and fight my fight. I know that you're a better fighter than me. God, may I stand behind you and be protected. God, may you help me in this battle in my life. I don't know what's going on, but God is coming right now and he's filling you. Fill him right now. Right now, fill him. Fire God, fill him right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Fill him right now. you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's not about the presents. It's about His presence. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning with a prayer. I'll give you a prayer. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you help your family recognize the true meaning of Christmas. I realize a lot of you, some of you in here are Sunday widows. What does that mean? That you come and your husband doesn't come. You're a widow on Sunday morning. That's not okay. But you can bring God's presence in to set something else in motion. Remember in the beginning when God gave me that word and I was reading it before. See, this is the time that we need revival in our life. And revival won't happen in our city before it happens on our knees. We must be the carriers of revival. What is revival? Revival is the presence of God. That's what it is. That's simple. Plain and simple. When God's presence comes. Here, think about this too. All right, pretend. You already know I'm on fire right now because I'm preaching like there's fire. So you know that I'm like a little match right now, right? Okay, there's a little fire, woo, going on. And I come into this room, and with my fire, I can only light so much. It only gets so warm with just me on fire. But you got Rick right here. He's got a little woo, fire going on too. Oh, it's getting a little bit warmer in here today. It's getting a little hotter in here, whoo. Come on now. Oh, Francis, come on now. She got a little fire on her, right? Brother Bob, woo, got some fire and a little dance maybe. And got some fire. Then you get a whole church full of fire. Start a blaze. See, people walk in and they don't realize, ooh, that they're logs. They just need a touch of God's fire to set them on fire. Right? Some people out there are so lost, they're petrified wood, but everything burns. Everything burns. Woo. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. God's speaking. Church, we got to be on fire. We must have the presence of God. I want to pray for you that the fire of God right now is going to fill you to completion. So when you walk into that house, that you carry the fire of God. You carry His presence with you. That He fills you completely. No matter where you go, that no matter what you do, it's not about you, but it's about the presence of the living God inside of you. And guess what fire does? It does two things. Purifies. See, I want to pray for God's fire because a lot of you want to be the carrier of fire, but guess what? It's hard for it to burn because there's so much other stuff that needs to happen. But anytime that you take some metal, and it's mixed with a bunch of junk. You get it hot enough, all the junk rises to the top, and God just goes, I'm gonna scrape that and purify you. I'm gonna make you pure gold, pure silver. I'm gonna make you pure right now. The fire of God must come right now and purify you so all the things, the impurities rise to the top so God can scrape it, right? How much has He gotta do that? He's gotta do that every day. That's why you get on your cross daily, carry it every day, every single day. You ask for forgiveness, repentance, and you ask, God, I need your fire. Consume me. Another thing with fire, fire is powerful. Powerful. A fire consumes. Amen? That's what God's fire can do in your life today. Will you lower the lights and will you stand with me as I pray for you as you go? Miss Cindy, do we have anybody for prayer teams today? Yeah. All right. Once I'm done praying, if you need prayer, additional prayer, we'll have prayer teams to the sides and to the back that will pray for you. But right now, I'm going to pray for you as we go. Don't forget, tomorrow night we have service. It's just 1 hour, 6:30 to 7:30 in here. It's amazing and wonderful. I've already seen the practice, and it's going to be wonderful. I love getting together. See, before you get with your earthly family, get with your heavenly family. Amen? We'd love for you to come. So, yeah, we got some prayer teams that are setting up, so I'm going to pray for you, okay? So this right here, when you raise your hands, you say, why do they do that? First time I ever walked into a Pentecostal church, it was ninth grade. I said, Mommy, why they all got questions? I'm like, this ain't school. There ain't no way that that pastor's going to be able to get to all those questions. No, this is the international sign of surrender. this is also the way that you receive. This is also the way you say, Dad, pick me up, carry me. My son, my daughter do that to me. Daddy, Daddy, pick me up. My daughter says, I hold you. I hold you. God wants to hold you tonight or today. He wants to hold you today. Okay? Will you raise your hands? Lift them. Father in heaven, the giver of great gifts, the giver of the greatest gift. We come to you right now. We believe your word is true. We thank you for the Christmas presence of Jesus. We thank you that you're with us. But God, right now as we leave, it's easy to feel your presence in the church, but it's hard to carry on. It's easy to love you in here, but sometimes there's a battle as we walk out. And the only way we're going to win is we recognize that you are our leader, that you go before us in every battle, that you are the King of Kings, and all knees must bow, and all tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But God, right now, it says in your word that we could have a fire of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the fire that consumes. God, I ask that right now with our hands raised high. Lord, we're coming to you. And not only are we coming to you with open hearts and open spirits, but we are physically showing you that right now we want to receive the fire of God right now. May you fall upon us from the top of our fingertips all the way down to the bottom of our feet, God. We're going to walk into situations and places, and we're going to be around people and our families, and we need the fire of God to purify us right now. Come, holy God, and purify us. Make us holy because you are holy. Ask for forgiveness right now. Ask for repentance for the things that we are not. God, may you purify us. May we be carriers of your word. You're looking for a spotless and a wrinkleless bride, Lord. When you come, Lord Jesus, when you come, that our the church will look like you want it to look. We ask that right now your fire comes and be strengthen us. May be power from Jesus right now. Spirit of the living God, fall upon us right now. Fall right now and break the bondage of sin. Break the yoke that is upon us right now. May your burden be light and your yoke be easy by Jesus' powerful name. Right now, God, we receive this. God, may we be carriers of your presence. We got a new year coming, God. A new year's coming, a new year's coming, a new year's coming. A new year is coming. I believe there's a fresh anointing coming. There's a new revival coming. I believe there's a new way that we're going to love you, a new way that we're going to do church, a new way that we come together. God, you're going to spread your fire out like a match that hits a dry leaf in a forest, and you're going to set ablaze a whole forest by one match. God, may you come. I ask for your spirit to pour out on First Open Bible in a new and an incredible way. God, that we've been prophesied over for many years, that you're going to fulfill these promises that are yours, God. And Lord, I do this in the name that's above every name, in the name that deserves all the glory. You're my king. You came as a baby, and you're my king. The king has come. The king has come. The king has come, and he's coming again. The king is coming again. The king is coming again. The king is coming again, and your kingdom will rule for all of eternity. We worship you, and we receive this in the name of Jesus. God's children said, amen. Amen.